I want to begin this morning by sharing a letter that was posted online by a 13-year-old girl. She said, "For years now, my stepdad has been rude to me. He calls me stupid every chance he gets, even though I have a 90% average in my classes. He says I'm fat, even though I only weigh 120 pounds. He calls me ugly and says I will never be his daughter, even though he's raised me for over 10 years. He makes fun of my heritage. He tears me down every chance he gets, and he makes me feel so worthless. He blames me whenever he and my mom fight. And I've actually started to believe everything he said. I think I have depression, but I'm afraid to get help. I'm afraid he'll tear me down some more. I'm only 13, but I've been feeling this way since I was about 10. I can't seem to ever do anything right, and I cry myself to sleep because every word he has said comes and attacks me once more. Am I being dramatic, or could I be suffering from depression? I also get verbally bullied at school, but at least I can hide from them." Today we're going to continue our journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he is teaching us how to live upside down, how to live his way. And the message that Jesus has for us this morning is our words matter. Our words matter. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder.' And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,'" which is an Aramaic term meaning empty-headed, "anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." From this passage, from these words of Jesus, I feel what the Lord really wants to emphasize to us this morning, right here, right now, is that our words matter. Our words matter. Why do they matter? Four things that I feel like God is highlighting for us this morning. Our words matter, number one, because we matter. Our words matter because we matter. See, when I speak to you, or when you speak to one another, we're not speaking to some random, faceless people. We're not just speaking in the air either. But we're speaking to someone who was created in the image of God and created by the sovereign hand of God, the loving hand of God. And if you're a fellow believer, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then when I speak to you, I'm actually speaking to a child of God, to one of his sons or one of his daughters. Son, a daughter of the Creator of the universe. Do you know who you are? If you're in Christ Jesus? Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16 remind us, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Creator of the universe is now your Father if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you matter so much to Him that He has adopted you into His family. You're now His son. You're now His daughter. Jesus, when He was praying for believers one time, He made this amazing, astounding statement. He said, "You sent me," and he's speaking to the Father. He says, "You sent me, Father, and have loved them." Talking about believers, His followers. "You sent me, and you have loved them even as you have loved me." It's an amazing statement. The Father God loves us, Jesus is saying here, in the same way, with the same kind of intensity that He loves His Son Jesus. It's amazing. We can almost be offended by that reality, but it's the truth. Jesus spoke it. He loves us that much, with that kind of intensity. And so, what we say to one another as fellow believers matters because we matter to God. I mean, think about this. As a parent, I have a real problem when people mistreat my kids. I have a real problem. I remember one time we're playing in a basketball game and I was coaching. And we were blowing out this other team. And I know the other team, their players were getting frustrated. We weren't trying to rub anything in. We were just playing basketball. And Grant was on a fast break. He was going up for a layup. And another one of the players on the other team comes running up behind and shoves him in the back. Grant hits the wall, breaks his arm. I had a problem with that. Because Grant matters to me. We matter to God. And so, as a father, as God, our Heavenly Father, when people mistreat us, whether it be physically or verbally, He can react. And as Jesus was saying here, the reaction can be harsh even from God. Why? Because we matter to Him. And so the things that are done and the things that are said to us matter greatly to God, our Heavenly Father. So our words matter because we matter. The second point about our words is that our words matter because they are powerful. Most of us have heard that saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." It's not true. If you've been alive, if you have ears and can hear, you know that's not true. Harvard University psychiatrists, they even say now that scolding and swearing and yelling and blaming and insulting and threatening and ridiculing, demeaning and criticizing can be as harmful as physical abuse. It can be as harmful as sexual abuse. This is according to a report that came out in the Harvard Mental Health Letter back in April of 2007. And I'm like, well, yeah. Sometimes it takes, secular academia a little while to catch up with God, And unfortunately, sometimes they never catch up and they keep running the opposite direction. But that's why I'm grateful that one of the elders here in this church is a professor over at ASU. Praise God, we have a light on that campus. Need more of them. Our words are powerful. Words have real power. God spoke the universe into existence. He used the power of His words, and everything was created. We're made in the image of God. And one of the aspects, one of the realities of being made in the image of God is that our words also have power. We have the power of the spoken word given to us. And that's part of being created in God's image. Think about it. Man is the only creation, the only creature walking, flying, or swimming. And we're trying to still figure out the flying thing. Do you guys ever fly in your dreams? Man, I do. It's awesome. I take that as prophetic. I'm taking that as prophetic. Yes, that's in me, man. It's going to happen. Woo! The only creature, the only thing created by God that has the ability of the spoken word is us, mankind, humans. It's a powerful, unique gift given to us from God. And with our words, we can do some powerful things. With our words, we can tear down. And with our words, we can build up. With our words. A lady once came to the famed preacher Billy Sunday and tried to rationalize some of her angry outbursts. And she said to him, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with me losing my temper. She said, look, I just blow up and then it's all over. So does a shotgun, Sunday replied. And look at all the damage it leaves behind. Our words matter. Because they're powerful. Very powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says that the tongue has the power of life and death. Now, I think sometimes we read that or quote that scripture, and I don't think we really understand what it really says. God's word says what it says, means what it means. And when God's word tells us, when God says to us that our tongue, our spoken word, what comes out of our mouth has the power to bring life or to bring death, it means just that. The young girl's stepfather was using his mouth to speak death over his stepdaughter. And as we read, that's what she was beginning to experience in her soul, in her heart. The power of life and death. Proverbs 12:18 helps us understand it more. Reckless words pierce like a sword. In other words, hurtful words hurt. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Our words matter because they can either bring hurt or they can bring healing. So then I want us to check this out. It's also in Proverbs 16. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. That's no joke, man. Pleasant words. Life-giving, encouraging words spoken out of the mouth of believers can actually bring physical healing to people's bodies. That's what Proverbs, that's what God's Word just said to us right here. Pleasant words are a honeycomb sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. The physical structure. We can speak life and healing into people's physical bodies. And I know in the 21st century, you know, yeah, whatever, that sounds really cool. It's the real deal here. Again, I said it before, it's no joke. This is God's word. Jesus takes it to another level, Mark chapter 11. And he says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says, meaning opens up their mouths and uses their words and speaks, If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. Our words matter because they are powerful. And we need to understand that. It's an important truth that gets just relegated to some kind of happy thought thing. I want to hear us as a church, as believers, to start to take hold of these truths about the power of our words and start to implement these truths as we're doing life. I mean, I'm just thinking about it. We'll see something happen. We'll go, well, that's just going to be the outcome of it. It's going to take weeks to recover from that, and it's going to cause all this trouble and all this pain, and that's just the way these things work out. And so we speak that. Why do we say that? That mountain's always going to be there, and it's only going to get bigger because that's just the way things work. So what are we doing? What are we speaking? Or are we saying, you know what? Be healed. Mountain be moved. Circumstances change. Kingdom of heaven come. God is bigger. He's a God of miracles. I'm looking at you right now, Jimmy. He's a God of miracles. He's bigger. You don't have to accept what the doctors say is going to be the way it's all going to work out. Let God surprise you. Let Him surprise you. Amen. The third point, our words matter because they reveal the heart. Our words matter because they reveal the heart. Jesus uses the topics of murder and then moves into adultery in his sermon to remind us that it's not simply about the letter of the law, rather it's about the heart. Yes, our actions matter, and we must always understand that. What we do matters. What we say matters. But it ultimately reveals our hearts. Our actions, our words reveal what's at the heart level. So it's a matter of the heart. Matthew 15:18. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. Luke 6:45. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And so hurtful words, just like murder, hurtful words are an indicator of heart problems. Something is wrong at the heart level. I like the way James kind of wraps it in here. And in James chapter 3, he says that with the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father. And with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. This shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be possible. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So, what's the prescription for a bad heart? Jesus. Come on, we know that. Did you go to Sunday school? Jesus. He's the answer. You don't know. Jesus. You're right. Ding, ding, ding. The prescription for a heart problem is Jesus. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The disease is a bad heart. The prescription is Jesus, and the cure is complete because it says He will purify us from all unrighteousness. He will clean our hearts and make us new. Jesus, in other words, is our cardiologist. He's our heart surgeon, and He's our cure. And out of a heart that's been cured by Jesus, touched by his love, will flow powerful actions and powerful words of life, of encouragement and healing. Give your heart to Jesus. Let him transform you. And we'll all be grateful for that. Oh, man, whenever I get in God's Word and I'm preparing these sermons, I'm like, wow. It's like when you point at somebody, you know, you say you got one finger pointing at them and three pointing back at you. I don't know. Oh, wow. God, help me. Continue your work in my life, Lord. So our words matter. They matter because we matter. Our words matter because they are powerful. Our words matter because they're an indicator of what's in our heart. And fourth, our words matter because they bring reconciliation. God deals severely with people who speak harsh words because He loves people. He loves people. But our words can also be tools of reconciliation. And that's where Jesus takes it in this part of His Sermon on the Mount. He encourages us to be instruments of reconciliation, to be ambassadors of reconciliation, to be those peacemakers that He talked about in the Beatitudes. And He says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle your matters quickly. And He goes on and He speaks about reconciliation because God loves reconciliation. He desires it so much so that He sent Jesus, and Jesus stepped down from heaven and He came and He became the great reconciler. Why? Because God loves reconciliation. He loves relationships and He wants us to be reconciled to our Heavenly Father, and He wants us to be reconciled and in proper right relationship with one another. And notice Jesus tells us to reconcile with others even before we come and worship Him. Do we do that? Let's make it our habit to do that. God loves people. He places a high value on reconciliation. That's why He's called us. Hey, even before you come worship Me, go make it right. You know, we think about the greatest commandment Jesus said is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second like that, to love one another. You can't love God if you don't love one another. It's impossible. Because God so loved one another's, all the one another's, that He sent His Son and He gave His life. So if we can't love one another, then we can't love God. We got to love one another. We got to show love to one another. And our words are a way to do that. They're powerful, I'm telling you. Can you hear God's heart? Go make it right before you come worship Me. Go make it right with your brother. This is how you can really love Me. This is how you can glorify Me. Love one another. Be reconciled. Speak life. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Pray for one another. This is how you can really love Me. Go do that. And then come be in My presence. And let's spend some time together. And I know sometimes you ask, but I've done that. I try to do that with my loved ones, with my coworkers, but they just don't want anything to do with it. And it reminds me of Romans 12:18. You know, as much as it's possible with you, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Do what you can do. That's all God asks you to do. You can't change the other person's heart or make them do something or not do something, but you can go do what you can do. Let's stand up as we conclude. I want us to be people who grab hold of this truth from Jesus. That we'd be people who let our words bring life and healing and love. This is how we can love our Heavenly Father, by loving one another. Our words matter. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word brings life. Your spoken word, your written word, it gives and brings life. Lord, we're humbled by the reality that you've also given us the ability to speak and that our words do the same. They bring life. And they bring healing and they bring reconciliation. Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us in this room understand that. Understand just how much our words matter. Understand just how powerful our words are. Lord Jesus, continue to transform our hearts. We surrender to you even as we sang earlier. We give you our hearts. We give you our everything. Continue to do your sanctifying work on us from the inside out, God. So that our words truly would be life-giving. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help us to understand this reality that we walk in. That you'd help us to understand the power of our words. And that you would guide us and fill us to the full. Just even ask Him, Holy Spirit, fill me to the full. Give me words to speak over people. Give me words of life. That I would be a fountain of life. That what would flow out of my mouth would be life. Just ask Him for that. Holy Spirit, give me those words of life. I'm a mouthpiece of life. I'm a mouthpiece of healing. I'm a mouthpiece of miracles. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Lord, help us steward this gift you've given us, the gift of speech, gift of words. Help us to use it in boldness and in gentleness, this gift, God. But God, that we would use it for your glory. Say, Father, I give you my words. That they would glorify you. That they would heal. That they would bring life. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to do something. I've been given assignments out lately. This assignment isn't one that's supposed to take place over the next couple days or couple weeks. But I want to give you an assignment right here and right now before you leave this building today. You would find two people, especially if there's somebody that you need to reconcile with in any way. But you would find two people and go speak life over them before you leave. Be led by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be a sermon. In fact, they probably prefer that it not be a sermon. It just needs to be a short word of encouragement. I love you. I thank God for you that I get to do life with you. The way you love others is so evident. And it matters greatly. You're an amazing mom. I love the way you love your kids. Speak life over one another. Your Heavenly Father will smile when those words come out of your mouth.